Okay, let's start with the second session here. Let me welcome Stefan Metzmacher. He has solved a long-standing problem that we had with Samba 3. So whenever you wanted to set up a Wind server, you had two choices. Go with a single Samba server and go with many Windows servers if you need replication. And I think he's going to talk about what he's implemented, and I hope he shows what works and what doesn't, maybe. Hello, Matt, Stefan.
Okay, thanks, Walter. Welcome to my talk about Wind's replication. First, if you want to download the slides now, you can go to the URL there, and when you sit back there in the corner, you maybe can see everything and put it on your own screen. So first, who am I? I'm a student on the University of Applied Science in Cologne since, I think, 2000 or something like that. And the first summer patch I wrote in 2001. And then I work in summer 3 on the VFS and PERSDB modules and the quarter management stuff. And since 2004 I'm a member of the Samba team. There I built the core infrastructure with the handling of the socket layer and the client libraries and put everything together. Also, I worked a bit on finding out how replication in Active Directory is working. And since 2005, I'm working for SANET on some projects, and then I do the Wind's replication for them and also work a bit on SMB2. So first, in a little agenda for my talk, first I want to explain the problem we had with the Wind's replication, then how I was able to learn the protocol, then some important data structures that are used in some calls, then what's the difference between pull and push replication. After that, I will explain some details about the protocol, and then how the conflict resolved is handled when names are registered in multiple servers with different IP addresses and something like that. Then the implementation is December 4. And then about December for Wind's project. So first, the problem is that all Windows versions use NetBIOS names for name resolution. These names are registered dynamically and released when workstations boot and shut down. Windows 90X, NT4, and Windows ME use this by default. And the newer versions of Windows use this as fallback when DNS is not working or you're using short names when connecting to servers. The Wind's protocol is a version of NetBIOS name resolution that works with servers instead of using broadcasts. And this is needed for routed networks when you can't use broadcasts across multiple subnets. So, the problem is that large networks need multiple servers to don't have a single point of failure. And the protocol for replication between Windows servers is a custom protocol on top of TCP port 42. So what we have is Samba 3 as a fast and stable Wind server, but it doesn't support replication. So until Samba 4 Wind replication server came, you only was able to have one single Wind server when you want to use Samba, and that's a problem in huge networks. So how I learned about the replication protocol? There was a partly implementation of this in Samba 3, but it didn't work completely and was never used in production anywhere. Then in December 4 there was a client library that handles the packet format and does some simple testing against Windows servers. And there's a really good documentation about the architecture, about how the replication works on a Windows document. But as always, the corner cases are missing there. So, and for to get a better feeling for the protocol, I added a dissector to the Ethereal Network Sniffer so that I can just watch the traffic on the wire between Windows machines and learn how the protocol works. So there are basically four types of NetBIOS names. First, UNIX names, which are registered by servers and workstations and just for UNIX names, and there's only one IP address attached to it. The second one are normal groups. This is just like the older work groups, and in newer Windows versions the NetBIOS domain, and the Win server always returns the broadcast any address to these replies, so that the Windows machines use broadcast to resolve the list of workstations in the workgroup or domain. Then there are special groups, or known as internet groups. These are, for example, the My Domain 1C name that is registered by domain controllers in Windows, and there are up to 25 IP addresses, and when you have more than 25 domain controllers, the rest of the addresses are just skipped. There are also multi-homed names. It's just like UNIX names, but when a server has multiple IP addresses, it can register them all. So the records in the database are active, release, or tombstone, and the Win server only replies active records, and the other are just there to handle the replication. Records can also be dynamic or static, and only dynamic records are allowed to be overwritten. So first, the replication works between configured partners and not necessarily between all Win servers in the network. So for example, you can have three Win servers, server A, B, and C, and A and B are replicating together, and B and C, but the information is distributed to all Win servers. So it's a bit confusing when you first hear about pull and push partners, and so it's like that. When I say my push partners will get notifications from me, and my push partners will be able to push to pull information from me, and I will get notifications from my pull partners, and I will try to pull information from them. Typically, the replication partners are pull and push partners, so that they pass information in both directions. One of the important structures in the replication protocol is the Win's owner structure. So each of the Win server is represented with the structure, the IP address, and the minimum version and the maximum version. This is because the main records in the database are identified with a version ID, and with each change, the version ID is set up to one more. The owner type is completely ignored in this case. The other important structure is a win's name. This represents the name record on the wire, and it's just like it is stored in the database too. You see, there's a record type. This is currently unique in this case. The record is active when you look here, and the rest are not so important for replication. Here you see the version ID the record has, and each domain, not domain controller, each Win server maintains a separate version ID counter. So the version ID is also attached to a Win's owner. And in this case, this record has only one IP address, but there is another structure. Mostly it's triggered by this bit. If there is an address list or a single address, and when you replicate an entry with multiple addresses, each address had its own owner. So there are four main message types in the replication protocol. It's start association. It's just like an open call that opens a handle. Then there's a reply to this message that establishes the context. And then, in most cases, the Win's replication is done with the replication comment. And when someone wants to close the connection, the stop association is called. The replication comment, the replication message has a few subcomments. These listed are here are used for pull replication. So first there's a call with which you can query the table of Win's owner structures. There are no specific payload data in this call, and the reply gives you a table of Win's owner structures we saw before, and then the server can go to its own internal list of Win's owners and check if it needs to pull information from the other server. The send request is used for this. You just pass in a Win's owner structure in the send request and get back a list of Win's name records in the requested version ID range. So there are also comments to do push notifications. There are two separate mechanisms. The update mechanism is used in Windows NT4, and the inform method is used in Windows 2000 and Windows 2003. This message is just like the table reply, so it's also a list of Win's owner structures. And the difference between update and inform is that on Windows NT4, the push partner, the pushing server sends the update to the other server. Then on the same TCP connection, the server and client roles are turned, and the informed server will pull the information on that TCP connection. In the newer Windows versions, they use Inform, and you have two TCP connections. One is the push connection, where you send just an Inform. It doesn't get a reply, and on the other connection, the other server just does a pull replication to the other server. So, in detail, the pull replication looks like this. Server A sends the start association, gets back the reply, and then do a table query, gets the reply, and then in a loop for all entries in the table reply, it does the send request and gets a send reply, and then it applies the name records that it got with the reply. In the push case with the update method, the server A sends start association, gets a reply, then sends the update, then the roles are turned and it just looks like the second part of the pull replication. And after this, the informed server closes the connection, and for the next update, server A needs to create a new connection. In the informed case, it's a bit different. Server A starts the association and gets a reply and sends the inform, and on the other connection, it's just like the pull replication case we saw two slides before. And these connections are persistent, so they are not closed after this, and the server A can send another inform on the push connection, and server B will just use the same connection as it already had to do the pull. So now we just look at the calls in detail. This is the table reply. We see an array of two partners, and there are four Wins owner structures, and typically the server says, I have I know about the version with this number, and the minimum number is ignored in this case, and then the other server can just say, oh, with the send request, I have, or no, I want to have all records above this version number of this owner, and then it gets a list of name records. This is just like the name, Win's name record I showed you before. The update and inform messages are just like the table reply, but it always only have one Win's owner structure. So the most difficult problem of implementing this was that the replication used a multi-master topology, and each server is able to handle registration and releases, and because of this, conflicts can happen when machines register the same name but with different IP addresses, and this needs to be resolved in a consistent way so that we have the same information on all servers after the conflict. To achieve this, I read the Microsoft documentation, but there are some corner cases that were not explained, so I created about 300 tests in the SemaFORCE SMB Torture to get the algorithm how the conflict needs to be resolved. It's typically we have a name, a unique name that is active, that conflicts with a name that is a normal group and is not active, and there are a lot of combinations of this, and I try to test them all to get a reliable demonstration of how it should work. So for the server implementation, I tried to get this done with SAML 3 a few years ago, but I failed it because I would need to change too much of SAML 3, and I wouldn't want to do this because I don't understand it fully and would maybe drop the quality of the SAML 3 code. When I done the second retry, I was also familiar with the SAML 4 architecture because I wrote a lot of that myself. And this time, yes, I tried it with SAML 4, and the most hardest parts, the asynchronous packet handling and all the stuff, was already solved in a generic and easy way to use. The development directly went into the main SAML 4 subversion tree, and then I step by step tried to get the server working against to match all the torture tests I've done before. So in SAML 4 we store the WINS partners that needs to be configured in WINS underscore config LDB, and it's, as the other talks already said sometimes about LDB, it's just like an LDAP based database, and so this should look very familiar to you. Also, the name records are stored in WINS LDB, and that looks like this. It's just everything we have in the WINS name record just stored on an LDIF-like format. So when you want to know more details, just grab the SAML 4 source code and then look at this directories. So there's also SAML for WINS. You may have heard about it yesterday in the first talk. This was a project. Oh no, I start from the top. SAML for WINS is just a SAML 4 snapshot from about 3 months ago, with mostly all features disabled, just the MBT and the WINS replication service are active, and the binaries are renamed and the config files are renamed, so you can run it in parallel with SAML 3 to have a working file and domain controller with SAML 3 and the WINS replication stuff from SAML 4. This project was started by CERNET because of there was a lot of interest in, by customers, and the company's Computer Center, FSC, and Linux Solution Group sponsored my work on this, and you can grab SAML for WINS packages from the above URL if you want. Oh, yeah, the last slide you didn't display, I don't know why. So, do you have any questions? Yeah, see you.
Some of our Winsts should be also compatible with Windows servers. What kind of servers have you tested it with, and how well do you have them?
I tested with Windows NT4 Service Pack 6, Windows 2000 without Service Pack, and Windows 2003 without Service Pack. It works fine.
We are using Samba for Winds in Munich, and it's straightforward configuration, and no problems since now.
Are you looking to do any GUI-based configuration for Samba for Winds, like putting it into SWAT2 or something, rather than requiring people to edit a random LDB?
Not for this project, but I think in the Samba 4 project we will maybe support the Windows GUI tools later, and then maybe add some SWAT configuration using the same protocols.
Does it support static entries, or?
Yeah.
So you can put your, you protect your users' real host names from.
Yes, you can do that.
Yeah, I think that's it. Then, any other questions? Then, thank you, Stefan. Sorry. Next talk will be about LDAP stuff, I think. Samba and LDAP.